Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship here in the Salvation Army in Felixstowe. Easter is only a week ago, and I've got this urge within me to do this. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Good.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Paul, for your enthusiasm. And I think, Rosie, I could hear you cutting through as well, so thank you very much. But we're still in that period of Easter, and really what we're going to be focusing on today is in the continuation of Easter, because we'll be looking at sharing the good news. But first of all, I've got to do my Sergeant Major's job. And everyone's already laughing. Yeah, so here we go. Tea and coffee after the meeting. As I said last week, this is the challenge. You go in there, you get your cup of tea, you get your coffee, you down it, and then we all head out for open air at 12 past five on the triangle. It's not only a what did I say? 5 past 12. Yeah, that's the right way around. 5 past 12. 5 past 12 on the triangle. And the idea is simply this, is to continue our worship on the street, in our local town, in our town. And it's just showing people that we are a nice, welcoming bunch of Christian people, and that there's nothing to be afraid of. So, tea and coffee straight after the meeting. Down it. I hope you've got your asbestos mouth guard with you. Down it, straight out onto the triangle for 5 past 12. Lovely. That's it. Come on, no dissipation now. I know I'm messing up left, right, hand, and left, right, and centre, but come on. So, this week, the office and the food bank will be open as normal on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 to 1. There's a box in the entrance in which you can make donations to the food bank. It's really important that you do. We've lost funding in the last couple of weeks for one of our main sources of food. So we've got to kind of try and make up the shortfall. You can play your part in that. Long life food for the food bank. Pasta, milk, tins of potatoes, tins of stew, tins of curry, tins of fruit, that kind of stuff that can be used in the food bank. You are much needed at the minute. On Monday at 10 p.m. is the Sally Wags Parents and Toddler Group. And on Thursday, Explorers is at half past three. I've forgotten on my list to mention that Friends Together is on Wednesday at 1:30 as well, and you'll be more than welcome to attend that. I've got an announcement from the Corps Sergeant Major. Next Saturday the 22nd of April, is the Corps Spring Clean. And I've noticed that a few people have signed up, but there's still a few names missing. The point is, many hands make light work. So you come here, 9:30, we have our bacon sandwich. At 10 o'clock, we start cleaning. If there's only a handful of us, well, it's going to be 2, 2.5, 3 hours' work. If there's loads of us, it's going to be an hour's work. We can get home and we can go and enjoy the seaside or whatever else it is we want to do. But next Saturday, please sign up for the core spring clean and general tidy up. It doesn't take a brain surgeon or a rocket scientist to realize that the place is a little bit untidy. So if we can all get together, we'll make light work of that and it'll be easy. I've got a final announcement to make, and this is more exciting. And we're going to restart a coffee morning. Ooh! That was more enthusiastic than I expected. We're going to restart a coffee morning. And it's going to take place on Thursdays from 10 to 12. Thursdays from 10 to 12, coffee morning. And that will be starting from Thursday the 18th of May. Thursday, no? No, we said the 18th, Carolyn. Yeah, we did say the 18th. Thursday, the 18th of May. I know that because I'm away the week before, so we decided we'd start the week after. Yeah. So Thursday, the 18th of May, coffee morning. Speak to Carolyn if you're interested in being on the rota for brewing up and dishing out cake and all that kind of stuff, but she'll tell you what needs doing better than I will. So coffee morning on Thursday mornings from 10 to 12 from Thursday, the 18th of May. Something to look forward to. Lovely. Shall we forget about that? And shall we continue with what it is that we're here to do? The band introduced to us that great Easter hymn, I suppose, "Thine is the Glory." For me, I have a special, special bond with that hymn because I would say in France, where I grew up, that was pretty much the only Protestant hymn that kind of really reverberated, that all the churches, all the Protestant churches shared and knew. So I love singing this one because not only does it remind me of Christ and what Jesus did on the cross, but it reminds me also of the unity that ought to reign in the church. I've spoken enough. Let's stand up and sing together, if you're able, of course. Hallelujah. Please take your seats. And the line that stood out to me then as I was singing this is, life is not without thee. Life is nothing without thee. And I want you to think about that during the rest of the meeting. Is that your testimony? Is that an experience that you share? Life is not without thee. I invite you to reflect on those words as we continue in worship this morning. We're going to sing a chorus now, a well-known one, a 1970s classic really. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Saviour, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. There's so much in there, isn't there, about who Jesus is. And that might help you actually as we reflect on that idea of life is not without thee. This serves as a wonderful reminder of who Jesus is. And the song is going to lead us into a time of prayer, which is going to be introduced by Paul Rivett. But first of all, let us join together in singing this.
Life is naught without thee. I'll add a little bit more. Aid us in our strife. Shall we pray together? So we continue to celebrate Easter. Let's just take a moment to focus on God's love. Let's be still, as we bring to mind the truths that we are with God in the quietness and peace of this place. Lord, overshadow me with your Holy Spirit. Banish distractions, inattention, coldness. Help my soul to be still. In today's prayers, we pray for the world and we give thanks for one another. Lord, loving your world seems a huge task, but as we pause, open our hearts and our minds to feel as you feel about the world you love. This week, we pray especially for safety. Safety in the United States. We've heard that in the United States Department of Defense, documents have been leaked with serious implications for our world. We especially lift up the Ukraine and all the ways this leak may affect the safety of Ukrainians, a country so special to this town of Felixstowe. We continue praying fervently for all those affected by the war in the Ukraine and war everywhere, and mourn the continuing loss of lives. We pray that your justice and peace will overcome any danger. In this quiet space today, Lord, show us our purpose in your needy world, so that as a church, we can become more effective in our neighborhood and a faithful witness to your kingdom. Help us to put our trust in you, and help us to be bold that your will be done in all ways and all places. So today, Lord, we give you thanks for all of those who touch our lives as we face life's challenges. Aid us in our strife. Heavenly Father, We give thanks for those to whom we can go to at any time and never feel a nuisance. We thank you for those whom we can go to when we're tired, knowing that they have for the weary the gift of rest. We thank you for those to whom we can talk and keep nothing back, knowing that they will not laugh at our dreams or mock our failures. We thank you for those in whose presence it's easy to be good. We thank you for those in whose company joy is found and our bitterness is soothed. We thank you for those by their good advice have kept us from the mistakes we may have made. Lord, help us to be like that and more. Remind us always that the miracle of the resurrection was not only for us, but for all. Guide us forward with hope and purpose, that we might offer the message of new life beyond our own circle, into our communities, that knowledge of your love might be spread throughout the world. Dear Father God, guide us, challenge us this week to use our voices to bring encouragement and comfort to one another so that we can be better prepared to do your work. We ask this, loving Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Paul, for leading us in that reflective way. Thank you very much. Right, children, come up and see me. I had prepared something, but Martha and I practiced it last night and it was a bit of a catastrophe, so we ditched it. So we're just going to have a bit of a conversation, a bit of a chat. How's it going? How are you, Catherine? How's your Easter holidays been? Have you enjoyed it? When do you go back to school? On Monday or on Tuesday, maybe? Oh, you might even be getting an extra day off. What are you looking forward to most about going back to school after this break?
Seeing all my friends again.
Seeing all your friends again? Cool. Martha, you go back to school on Tuesday, don't you? What are you looking forward to when you go back? My teachers. And Matthew, what are you looking forward to most when you go back to school?
Nothing.
I thought you were having a wonderful time at Colney's.
Yeah, but I jammed my finger in a car door.
But that's got nothing to do with going back to school, has it? Right. Well, you can think about what you're looking forward to. Archie, do you go to school? Do you go to nursery or anywhere? Yeah? And toddlers tomorrow. Yeah, so that's it. There's a good team of people there that work very hard to keep that going. I'm going to come to him later. And Felicity, what are you looking forward to about going back to school?
Seeing all my friends again.
And Max... I know you, but you don't know me. When do you go back to school?
On Tuesday.
And are you looking forward to it?
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to most?
Seeing your friends.
And Mia, how about you? Mia and I, we've known each other for years. Mia, what are you looking forward to most about school? Cool, seeing my friends. Mia, you've got a big change coming, haven't you? Because you go to secondary school. You're already there. No? Are you year six as well?
Yeah.
See, I think you're so grown up. I think you're so grown up. That's a problem. Shall we, every one of us, commit to praying for our kids and our young people
as they head back to school with nursery and parents and toddlers and all these good things, shall we commit to praying for them this week as they go away? So you can go to school this week knowing that these people, there's about 100 people here, maybe about 110, right? That these 100 and 110 people, no, it's probably 100 people because you're about that, yeah. About 100 people are going to be praying for you when you go back to school this week. So that should give you courage and confidence to go back and have a wonderful time and do lots of learning and have lots of fun as well. Yeah? Even you, Matthew. So, but Hudson, what happened yesterday? What happened yesterday? Where did we go yesterday? Can you remember? Did we go... Can someone help me? Yesterday, we celebrated Hudson's birthday. And how old was Hudson?
Three.
He was three. So shall we wish him a happy birthday together? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Hudson. Happy birthday to you. Yay! Happy birthday, Hudson. Now, we're going to sing a song that we love, right? And I'm going to ask you to turn this way and to face the congregation. And your job, as usual, is going to be to assess, to evaluate, to tell me, in other words, how well the grown-ups are doing. Shall we do that? Shine from the inside out if you're able, stand, and we're looking for, I'm looking for 99% rate of engagement and fun. Thank you, Jackie. Get down from there, guys. Here we go. Here we go, and
shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live in me. Shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live in me. You know me and you love me, you feel me, so send me to shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live in me. Shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live in me.
It's going to become difficult. Get ready. It's coming. Here we go.
Shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live in me. That the world will see you live in me. Know me, love me, feel me, send me. Know me, love me, feel me, send me. Oh, know me, love me, feel me, send me. To shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live in me. Shine from the inside out, that the world will see you live in me.
You know me and you love me, you feel me, so send me.
Know me, love me, feel me, send me. Know me, love me, feel me, send me. Know me, love me, feel me, send me.
Lovely. Well done, everyone. And I hope that when you go back to school this week that you will shine. Lovely. Sunday school now. Go and have a wonderful time with Joe. See you later, Matthew. Archie, where are you? Oh, you've got your trumpet with you. Wow. Which? Yeah, that's a favourite trick, isn't it, of cornet players. Hide your snacks down your mouthpiece. Lovely. We look forward now to the ministry from the songsters. lovely song, well written and well sung. I will serve by love. What a motto for living. I will serve by love. I noticed during the songsters that some of the closet songsters were joining in again. Don't remain in the closet. Bob, can I invite you to pick up the flag? And Simon, can I invite you to come and join with me? Morning, Simon. How are you?
Good, you?
Good, yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Thanks for joining me up here. It's my pleasure this morning to enroll you as a soldier in the Salvation Army once again. It's a commitment not to be taken lightly, and you're not taking it lightly, and we have discussed some of the issues around soldiership at length. And it's a pleasure this morning to conduct this ceremony. I've asked Bob to join with me with the flag. The flag, it's not a symbol of the Salvation Army. We're not going all army bar me at the minute. But we bring the flag up front because of what it signifies. And we see here the blue that represents the purity of God. The red, the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. And the yellow star in the middle, the fire of the Holy Spirit. So we bring the flag forward, not because we're army barmy, as we say, but because we want to remind ourselves that God, the God three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is amongst us this morning. All who wish to become soldiers of the Salvation Army are required to sign the Soldiers' Covenant, and we'll do that shortly. And in so doing, they testify three things: that they worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that they have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and that they desire to fulfill their membership of His church on earth as a soldier of the Salvation Army. They affirm their belief in the Bible as the Word of God and their acceptance of the Salvation Army's articles and faith. And in addition to this, they make a number of commitments that no other church demands of anyone unless they are joining a religious or monastic order. This is why soldiership is a covenantal covenant. So in addition to agreement with the articles of faith, those who wish to become soldiers declare the following: that they will be responsive to the Holy Spirit and seek to grow in grace. May it be so, Lord, we pray this morning. That they will make the values of the kingdom of God the standard for their lives, showing Christian integrity in their deeds, maintaining Christian ideals in their relationships, and upholding the sanctity of marriage and family life. That they will be faithful stewards of all they have and are. That they will abstain from the use of all enslaving substances and harmful activities. That they will be active in God's work, both in sharing the gospel and in serving the needy, and will contribute financially to its support. That they will be true, finally, to the principles of the Salvation Army. They witness that they freely enter into this covenant, convinced that the love of Christ requires the devotion of their lives to His service for the salvation of the whole world. and they declare their determination by God's help to be true soldiers of the Salvation Army. And as I read these words, I'm reminded that many of us here have made this commitment. And I wonder if this morning there's an opportunity for those of us who have made it, those of us who have entered this covenant with God, that there's an opportunity here to perhaps renew it and to reconsider all these truths anew. So I invite you to stand, please. And Simon, I speak to you now in particular. Do you declare in the presence of God and this congregation that you undertake by the help of the Holy Spirit to live and work as a true soldier of Jesus Christ and of the Salvation Army according to the witness and promises you make this day? If so, raise your right hand and say, I do.
I do.
Lovely. We're nearly there. I now invite you, Simon, to come and sign these things that we have just explained. So if you would sign here, and I'll witness that as well. Thank you very much. I think this morning, as we welcome you once again as a soldier in the Salvation Army, I want to iterate this point, that Salvation Army soldiers are responsive to the Holy Spirit. I know that you are. I know that you are. But I encourage you to really live out that exhortation contained within the commitment that you have entered into this morning, to seek to grow in grace. It's a beautiful phrase, isn't it? You have experienced God's grace without a shadow of a doubt. And I exhort you to continue allowing that grace to work in you, transforming you, turning you into the person that Jesus Christ calls you to be, so that the boundaries between Simon and Jesus are getting further and further and further blurred. So that when you leave this place, that when you go into your workplace, what people see is not so much Simon, but our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Simon. And we thank you for the work that you have done, are doing, and will continue to do in his life. We give you all the glory for that. We thank you, Lord, for the death of Jesus Christ on the cross that gives us forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, for his resurrection that gives us hope. And then we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that empowers us and emboldens us to live for Christ and to live for Christ alone. We thank you this morning for Simon's gifting, and it's considerable. And Lord, we know it comes from you. So we thank you for it. And we pray, Lord, that he will continue both in his service at the Salvation Army, but also in his service at CYM, that he will continue to use these gifts for your glory, so that others might come to know your love, your peace, your joy. Lord, we pray for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit, Lord, on Simon this morning, but on us all. Lord, we often need renewing, we often need refreshing, Lord. And we pray for that this morning. We need your Holy Spirit. We need your courage. We need your boldness. Lord, pour out your Spirit on us this morning. For those of us, Lord, that have already taken this commitment, Lord, I pray that you would challenge us this morning to reconsider it.
that it's not just an agreement with the Salvation Army. It's not just membership of the Salvation Army, Lord, that we have entered into, but that it's a covenant with you. That we have dedicated our lives to you. Lord, and I pray for everyone else in this congregation, Lord, that might be considering that commitment, Lord. That you would give them the courage and the strength to make the required steps, Lord. That they would not only be looking at membership of the church, but they would be looking at committing their lives wholly and fully to you. Lord, we rejoice this morning and we give thanks for Simon. And we pray that you would be to him everything that he needs you to be. We make this wonderful prayer. We make this prayer in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we welcome Simon? Welcome. You get a, please take your seats. You get a sense this morning of the warmth that people feel towards you. But what you haven't seen, what I have seen, is the significance of the commitment you're making this morning to the members of the PCC in the church. And we feel encouraged and we feel emboldened because of the commitment that you make this morning once again. So we listen to you and to your testimony, which is not going to be a trombone solo this time.
Well, I wasn't expecting to be stood here again. That's the truth of it. I wonder if you've ever made a really considered, sound decision and thought that it was absolutely the right thing and then had to go, oh, I might have got that wrong. And I think that's one of those moments this morning for me. Those of you who know me really well would have noticed that that's been a bit squirmy for me this morning, and that I will have done everything I can to get out of standing under the flag and being here. I just would have loved this to have slipped under the radar. Not because I have any disrespect for the process or the tradition, but just because I don't like the fuss in quite that way. But it is a really important moment, and as Paul was speaking there, I was thinking, actually, the 17-year-old who stood like this in the army at Ipswich and made this commitment is a significantly different person now to that 17-year-old, and quite what the commitment means as well. For those of you who don't know me so well, we took the decision to step away from the Salvation Army after the sort of the end of the pandemic, as the pandemic was coming to a close. But it was also following a process of a number of years of me personally questioning whether I was serving God in the right place. So we didn't leave because anybody upset us. Can be assured of that. We didn't leave because we thought anybody wasn't doing anything right or wrong. We took the decision that we thought was right for us and our family. And my story is very much that I then needed to go and explore other churches and other places to see whether I needed to be somewhere else to serve God. My beautiful family have their own stories, and I encourage you to talk to them about those. Now, I can hand on heart say that during the lockdowns and the pandemic in that early phase, I would have told you that everything was going really well in my life, that I was in a really positive place, because we all have different lockdown stories, don't we? But in that moment, early on, I really thought things were great. I'd managed to navigate some tricky moments professionally with the charity and our concerns as to whether we would survive, but things were looking far more positive. I'd spent far more time with Annette and the children than I'd ever managed to before. I'd exercised far closer to the amount that I would want to in life. I'd added dishes to my cooking repertoire. We'd even managed to navigate sharing a home office together. Do you know what? We even also had a Christmas party in the spare bedroom, come NHS finance and charity headquarters, whilst navigating GCSE and Key Stage 2 maths. Because during that time, I also served my apprenticeship as a homeschool teacher. However, there's a definite part two to the pandemic experience for me. And a couple of years ago, I came as close to a breakdown as I ever wished to experience. For various reasons, things collapsed around me, and I found myself in quite the mess. A once-in-a-lifetime trip was cancelled due to my poor health, and I seriously questioned my purpose and my ability to do what I do. Our beautiful Felixstowe prom was well and truly trodden during that time, both day and night, and I have to admit that I really well and truly let God know that I wasn't a happy chappy. This Bible that goes most places with me has, it's a bit bigger, has extra margins in it, and I take notes in things, but as I've reflected and looked back, I've seen just how angry I was with God. And some of the notes that I've written in there are quite edgy and quite descriptive. But God has still really been working in this. And that's the beauty of reflecting, I think, that you can see those moments. A contact through my work sent me a message simply to say, "Simon, you're on my heart. I don't know why, I don't know what, but if you want to meet, I'm available." And I took him up on that. He had no clue of our circumstances. He had no clue of what I was going through. But he knew that God had prompted him to reach out to me, to talk with me, and to walk with me. And he continues to do that, and he's been faithful and obedient to that. And that's taught me a huge amount. Previously, I might have been cynical about that text message. But my experiences and my maturing faith have shown me that God does speak through people. He knew nothing of those experiences, and yet he reached out. And he's been a really important person in these last couple of years. And a couple of years ago also, just because we thought it would be a good thing to do during a pandemic, we decided to move house as well. And that has been a bigger blessing than I could have ever imagined. And there's a number of reasons for that, but one of them, among other things, is for a supportive and prayerful relationship to develop with Neil. So thank you, Neil, very much for that. Again, in my opinion, God's timing when it was absolutely needed. I imagine God has been shoving me and dragging me at times, let alone walking alongside me. But I'm grateful for the promptings in my soul that have reminded me how important my faith is to me and how crucial it is to be gathering with other Christians on a regular basis, because it would have been so easy just to give up on it. As I explored other churches, I thought I'd found the right place. I met with the pastors. I told them that that would be where I would be committing myself to. And then on one Sunday morning, as I sat in their service on my own on that day, a series of things happened that just made it critically clear that that wasn't the right place for me to be at that time. You'll imagine I got in the car, thumped the dashboard, said a few words, and then as I drove home, just said, "God, I need to know what on earth is going on." I got home, we had lunch, and that very afternoon, Bella suggested to me that we might like to come and check out these new offices at Felixstowe. We have recently decided that Bella might be a prophet in my life. She suggested that we come, so we did. We came and checked them out. We thought they were all right, and we've decided to stay. You'll understand just how much my heart leapt when one of the children really wanted to engage with church again, because it had been a pretty lonely period of time. In that moment, I simply said thank you. I released the stress and the pressure that I was feeling about modeling faith to my family, and I trusted that God would do his working in his time. So today, it's no Emmaus Road moment, because my faith has got stronger and stronger through this process, but I can testify to God's goodness in challenging moments and his prompting and his nudging in the direction he needs from me. And so I stand here humbly recommitting myself to this church family, and I ask you to help me discern what God wants of me next. It would be so easy to go back to what I've always done, and so I'm being really sensible and careful about that. But I genuinely believe that if God has taught me anything in these last few years, it's that the church has an opportunity to consider and shape how it can impact people's lives through deeper and more meaningful relationships. How can I share God's love with the people who are yet to know him? How can I be part of something that is genuinely accessible, welcoming, and open to all? I'm still not sure I completely understand why, but God has led me back to this place, and I trust that he has something new for me as I serve him here. If I go to Psalm 31 or Psalm 30 or 28 in this Bible, let's say they're well annotated. But here are a few of the verses that have stood with me during this time. In Psalm 31, some of the verses say, "I come to you, Lord, for protection. Don't let me be ashamed. Do as you have promised and rescue me. Listen to my prayer and hurry to save me. Be my mighty rock and the fortress where I am safe. Protect me from hidden traps and keep me safe. You are faithful, and I trust you because you rescued me. But I trust you, Lord, and I claim you as my God. My life is in your hands. And then from Psalm 28. Only you, Lord, are a mighty rock. Don't refuse to help me when I pray. Please listen to my prayer and my cry for help. I praise you, Lord, for answering my prayers. You are my strong shield, and I trust you completely. You have helped me, and I will celebrate and thank you in song. Amen.
Thank you, Simon. I look forward to seeing why God has brought you back. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Gentlemen, shall we skip? Is that okay? Is that okay? Yeah. We'll go to the band now. You're going to bring to us... we could skip the band. Heather, how controversial... In deeper consecration.
Thank you.
I'm going to invite you to turn to your Bibles now. And we're going to be very briefly, actually, looking at Mark's Gospel this morning. So I want you, first of all, to look at Mark chapter 1, verse 1. And it says this: in the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. In the beginning, the good news. And let's turn all the way now to Mark 16. And you'll realize there's a little additional bit in your Bible. But Mark 16, and we'll read from verse 9 all the way to the end. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on people who are ill, and they will get well." After the Lord had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. What are the things that you just love talking about? A favourite in the UK, at least, is the weather. And research carried out in 2015 found that 94% of British respondents admitted to having conversed about the weather in the past 6 hours. Hands up if you're guilty. Yeah, that's consistent. 38% will take it. 94%, no, we're not quite there, but yeah, some are liars, obviously. While 38% said that they had in the past 60 minutes. So since you've been here, have you spoken about the weather? Yeah, good. There's a few honest souls around the place. Statistically, at least, there's a good chance that today some of us will have spoken about the weather. Other favourite topics of conversation, of course, include family, holiday plans, hobbies, and another perennial favourite, football results. 6-0 results for some. So the issue I want to raise today is this: do we have the same sense of enthusiasm to talk to people about Jesus as we do the weather? Do we have the same passion for sharing the gospel? I brought the Ipswich Town fans down there in a split second. So what is the gospel? The first half of Mark 1:1 that I just read shortly gives us an important pointer. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. The gospel is literally the good news of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul puts it this way in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15. "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which was received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firm to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain."
For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, and then to loads of other people. So it seems fitting that we approach this theme of sharing the gospel the week after Easter. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He defeated death by rising on the third day. And as a result, those who repent are forgiven and reconciled with God the Father and get to enjoy life with him now and forevermore. Good news. So it's important to note this morning that the gospel is not primarily about us. However, it's not about how we should live. It's all about Jesus, who he is, and all that he has done and is still doing in and through his Holy Spirit. But if the gospel is primarily about Jesus, what Mark's gospel makes clear, and this is echoed more securely in the gospels of Matthew and Luke, but I wanted to stick with Mark, is that the responsibility to make the gospel, to make the good news known, lies primarily with his disciples. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. We read in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And this is what the resurrected Christ says to the 11 remaining disciples. And I don't need to point this out, that this instruction extends to all of his disciples. Here and now, you and me. But my application this morning is going to focus on what we can do individually. Each one of us, not corporately. Because sometimes if we think too much about evangelism as a corporate thing, we can go, well, that's someone else's problem. That's the Corps Sergeant Major's problem. That's the band's problem. I don't need to worry about evangelism. Jesus Christ says to his disciples, says to each and every one of us, go and preach the good news. The application this morning will be individual. So this morning I'd like to introduce this idea of a three-word testimony. It's a helpful tool, I believe, because not only does it assist us in shaping a simple testimony that can be ready to whip out, so to speak, when needed, but also, and I think this is almost more important, I think, in this day and age, I wonder, it allows us to take stock of what Jesus has done and is doing in our lives. If I were to turn to you and say, give me your testimony, millions of people in here would stand up and say, 50 years ago, Jesus saved me. That's all right, that's interesting, it's good, it's fine. But what I want to know, what people want to know, they want to know what Jesus meant to you last week. That's what's going to convince people. Our testimony focuses on what Jesus has done and also on what he is doing in our lives. So as its name suggests, a three-word testimony contains three words. So let's start from the very beginning. And the first word should describe your life before you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. It should describe your feelings, your thoughts, your situation at the time. So these words might include angry, directionless, my testimony, empty, hopeless, restless, striving, confused, insecure, unloved. What is yours? This is not a complete list, of course. It's not a complete list that I've shared with you, and I'm already hearing some different ones. People are engaging, people are thinking, thank you very much. What is your first word? Well, think of that word that best described you before you met Jesus. The second word should describe how you came to place your faith in Christ. And words here might include creation, the beauty of creation, study, concert, event, Bible, trouble, observation, evangelist, spouse, loved. The idea is to find the one word that summarizes how you met Jesus. The third and final word should describe the transformation that Jesus has brought about in your life. So for the third word, you might choose peaceful, generous, loving, brave, caring, confident, compassionate, helpful, servant. What is different about you now? And I'm on shaky ground here, I think. But I wonder if answering what benefit comes with following Christ might speak more in this day and age. What benefit? What have you got out of meeting Christ? That's, I think, what we're talking about at the minute. But I realize I'm on slightly shaky ground. What does it mean for you? What word summarizes what it means for you to live the transformed life in Christ? So, of course, if you just choose these three words, they don't make much sense, do they? So they do need to be fleshed out. They do need to be knitted together so that the story makes sense to you and hopefully to others too. I suspect, however, that most of us are fearful or perhaps even slightly ashamed of sharing our story. And in response to this, I'll say two things. Firstly, we can't control others' response. If they don't want to listen, don't force yourself on them. Move on. We're not here to force ourselves on people. And I say that because I don't think Jesus did. Be ready. Be ready. But don't force yourself on people. And secondly, I think that we can be scared of saying something stupid. But I've hopefully shared a helpful structure around which to organize our testimonies. It's not about fancy words. It's not about explaining difficult concepts, difficult theological concepts. It's about sharing your story. It's your experience. And that's what matters. It's what Jesus has done for you. That's what matters. And that's what will resonate with others. The idea is simple. It's to make others feel that they want a taste of this life, of the love and the hope offered by Jesus. Tell you what, that little story sounds all right. I fancy a bit of that. And I'm going to look into it. Sounds good, doesn't it? Doesn't need complicated words. Complicated concepts might put people off. Three words knitted together that give people a taste of what it means to live for and with Christ. In response to this, all of this, I suspect there's going to be some cads in the congregation that might say this to me. Yes, but St. Francis of Assisi said this: preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Yeah, it's true. I completely agree. Our actions can and do speak volumes. But I believe it's important to be able to articulate, to state the underlying motivations driving those actions. So we don't do things mindlessly. We do things because of what Christ did for us. And when others ask us, why are you so patient? Why are you so kind? Why are you so forgiving?
Well, then you whip out the three-word testimony. So yes, my actions are good, but this is the underpinning. I think that's crucially important. So in conclusion, I'm going to set you some homework, and I'm going to ask you to go away, and during the week, I'm going to, don't worry, it's not going to be marked. I'm going to ask you to come up with your three-word testimony. Go home. Think about it. What was I like before I met Christ? It's a crucially important question. If you can't answer that right now, now is the time to recommit. If you cannot remember the difference that Christ has made in your life, now is the time to reevaluate. Now is the time to rethink. Now is the time to draw near to Him. So go home. Come up with your three words. And I believe that this exercise has three benefits. It will allow us to remember what Christ has done for us, as I've just said, and what He is still doing in us. It allows us to be ready to share our testimony where and when appropriate. And it allows us to be clear about why we do what we do. So if Christ has brought meaning to your life, why wouldn't you want that for someone else? May God bless us all as we consider our response to this message. We're going to sing together a song of declaration. And this is what we're going to sing. All heaven declares the glory of the risen God. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Forever He will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship Him alone. Powerful stuff. All heaven worships the Lamb. But next we sing, I will proclaim the glory of the risen Lord, who once was slain to reconcile man to God. The good news. Forever you will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship you alone. Is this something that you proclaim? Is the gospel something that you proclaim in your living? I'm confident it is for many of us. But is it something that we are prepared to proclaim through our words? Because how is anyone ever going to know what Jesus has done for you? How is anyone going to know what Jesus has done for us if we don't share it with others? I once was X, Y, Z, but now I'm blah, blah, blah. It's not about complicated theology. It's about your story. It's about your experience. So let's commit this morning to think about what I've said, about this idea of a three-word testimony. I'm not asking you to walk down Hamilton Road and to go, do you know Jesus? I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to be prepared. I'm asking you to be ready to give an account of the hope that you have. 1 Peter something, someone more holy than me will know the reference. Let's sing together. Oh. Shall we stand and make this our declaration this morning? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do not want the death of your Son to have been in vain. And we realize this morning, Lord, that we are your only instruments. So, Lord, we pray, equip us through your Holy Spirit to be your witnesses in our deeds, in our living, but in our words also. We ask for a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord, to empower us and to embolden us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those people that we meet. We make this prayer in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please remain standing if you're able as we join together in our closing song this morning. I realize that this cup of tea is going to have to go down quick before we head to the triangle. But 15 minutes is plenty of time, plenty of and plenty of courage, and it'll be gone in no time. Let us join together in singing, "Come ye that love the Lord."
and the final benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.